Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
Second hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on this rainy Monday. Hope you're having a good day. There are flash flood warnings and alerts out there. Please be careful. Probably a lot of standing water. If you're out driving about, out and about, just be careful of standing water. We've taken on a lot of rain in this area since Saturday. Darren McFarland and Willie Donnick here with you. Elijah Campbell manning things at our game studios. We now bring in Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com, covering the Titans, of course, talking with TD's his podcast. You should check out every week. And, of course, he makes an appearance on all of our live shows throughout the course of the week. And he's presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and Crane Works and Rental Works. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. Teron, no Amani Hooker, no Taylor Lewan, no Jayon Brown. The list goes on and on. No problem. Titans get a huge win out in Seattle. It looked very bleak at halftime, but what a performance in the second half and overtime to secure the win.
Yeah, it was a really good performance. Just seeing them find a way to just lock it down and hold that Seahawks offense in that second half and give their offense an opportunity to come back. It was a really fun game to watch, and I enjoyed it for sure.
What did you see from your vantage point? And we've been talking about a little bit in the first hour. Taylor Lewan inactive, was out, got hurt in warmups. It looks pretty clear that knee just is not, 100%. He's not back from the ACL injury. Do you think this is going to be, and I'm not asking you to play doctor, I get it, I'm just asking for your opinion. Do you think this is something that's going to plague him for a while, that maybe he's not going to be back for a while, that he needs more time?
Yeah, I think it very well may be that. And the reason why I say that is because I kind of watched as he walked off the field, and I saw offensive lineman coach Keith Carter kind of console him. And right before he left to go in the tunnel, like, he gave him that, like, pat on the shoulder. And it just seemed like, that obviously was not going to be a good thing. Now, I don't know if it was because they had at that point determined that he won't play on that game, or that they realized that it may be something bigger. But it's interesting because right before all of that happened, he seemed to be moving just fine. So there was just something that he did that tweaked something, because we don't even know if it's the same knee, but he definitely was in pain. So that's something to definitely keep note of.
We had somebody text in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com in the first hour asking why they haven't seen him in a brace at all this season. What do you make? I mean, both of us have gone through ACL, but we never had to come back to an NFL game. It is kind of like in college, you see a lot of offensive linemen that wear braces on both knees, even if they don't have an injury. I thought it was an interesting question. I don't have a good answer, but what do you make of that question and why we haven't seen him in a knee brace at all?
Yeah, a lot of the guys, they wear that just like as a stabilizer.
Yep.
And I think for Lewan, you got to remember, like, a lot of what he does is based off of speed. And that big bulky brace on there, he may have felt like it would slow him down. And I can't say that if he went through the pregame warm-up with a brace on, he wouldn't have gotten hurt. But I definitely, like, I get it, because that's something that I look for, on Bud Dupree. I look for that on A.J. Brown, not necessarily a brace, but like for A.J., just like that band, and I take note of those things. But I don't think that Lewan wanted to wear that, just like I said, from a speed perspective.
You're out in Seattle. You got to take in yesterday and experience that. It is good to see fans back in the stands. And, it's affecting these games. There's no doubt about it. You were out there at Lumen Field, and it looked like it affected Josh Reynolds on that play. How difficult was it to hear things, and how much do you think that crowd played a factor into, at times, you know, helping Seattle and made things difficult for the Titans?
Yeah, there were a couple. You know, there was a false start. I think it really, there were opportunities where the Titans could have run a play with the Seahawks not having all their guys on the field or not having their guys in position, but they would go through and they would check the play, and you literally saw the relay go down the offensive line and then to Chester Rogers in the slot and then to the receivers on the outside. That was pretty interesting watching that. And I think it may have affected like their ability to go tempo if they wanted to do that, but this is one of the weeks where they didn't have to do it. That sense of urgency was just created, period, because they understood the situation that they had as far as like being in a hostile environment and just having to circle up and do what they did.
Michael Pruitt was a big part of their success yesterday. Who would have thunk it? I don't think any of us were predicting that. Not only just, you know, not just his performance, like 3 catches, 43 yards, but just his attitude, right? Just what he brought to the table. He was drawing penalties. He was clearly in the heads of the defenders for Seattle. I thought he played an exceptional game.
Yeah, he brought that attitude that they needed. And it just all started with that Derrick Henry run. And at the end of the play, like he kind of drove Jamal Adams down as he got up. And Adams took offense. And that's the one thing, like when you have players who are very emotional, like Jamal Adams, I think you could play that against them. And it was almost like that's what Pruitt did. And a couple plays later, he beat Adams. He caught a pass, and then Adams tried to tackle him, and he kind of bounced off the tackle, but they ruled him down. And it definitely worked for him. And he provided that spark, that edge. It was nothing personal. It's just that's sometimes what happens in football. I mean, that's exactly what he said. So I believe he did provide a spark. He did give them a jolt when they really needed it.
If they would have lost that game in overtime, Teron, you can imagine what today's show would have been like. It would have been full of a lot of venom from Titans fans, and I think it would have been absolutely warranted. I think that crew had an awful day at the office yesterday.
Terrible.
I thought there were some really, really horrendous calls against the Titans. The safety, it should have been a safety. The Julio Jones, in my opinion, should have been a touchdown. They got a horrible spot. I mean, the list goes on and on. Where are you on? You're there. Did you believe that Julio Jones is a touchdown? Did you believe that should have been a call to safety? What side of the fence are you on some of those calls?
Yeah, I think that terrible spot was like that was bad. Then the safety, I'm not sure exactly how you could determine that his forward momentum did stop outside of the end zone, and then the touchdown. And see, that's the thing that really confused me, because I always thought that you tap your toes, and if you tap your toes, you're in. I never heard of anybody tapping their toes and their heel never touching out of bounds. You know, I mean, unless there's a bunch of ballerinas walking around that I don't know about, but I don't understand how you could tap your toes and not have your heel go out of bounds. Like eventually the rest of your foot has to go down. And looking at some of those steal shots, it was almost like his heel did come down in bounds. I don't understand. Like at what point are we going to be able to know what's a catch and what is not? That one really looked like a catch to me, but they apparently felt it wasn't. I asked Mike Vrabel about that, and he talked about a new crew being there in New York, and that was the group that was communicated with, and it was determined to not be a touchdown, which that one baffled me.
Yeah. I said, and you're right, I was with you on the roll, never heard that before, but just pushing that aside, I mean, just not even with that in play, like I still, like the call on the field was a touchdown. Like, I don't know what angle they had or what view they got or what picture they got, because, like you said, there's still shots out there that were circulating, and I still believe that even with that, like his heel, his shoe, nothing touched the paint, in my opinion. Like there was nothing that showed me that you could 100% tell one way or the other whether his shoe was touching the paint or not.
Yeah, and that's what is supposed to go into a play being overturned. So with that being so questionable and so 60-40, 50-50, I don't think there's any way it should have been overturned. I just don't.
You played the game, TD. What did you make also? And look, this one went in the Titans' favor, and as I tweeted out during the course of the game, well, that's one of many makeup calls, in my opinion, they owe the Titans. I didn't like the taunting call. I don't know. You played it. What do you make of it? It's an emotional game. Like, what do you want him to be? I mean, oh, so if he turns away and does it, it's okay, but because he looked his direction, it's a taunting call? I just thought it was a weak call. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, it is an emotional game, but this is one of the cases of they said that this was something they were going to crack down on. They said it before the season started. So you have to understand that and know, okay, yeah, I do want to, especially in that situation, the cornerback and receiver dynamic, it's like Tom and Jerry, right? You're always fighting and you're always wanting to get at each other, but that's one of those times where you have to understand, and it's hard. Like, it's easy for me to sit here and say it, but it's hard when you're in the middle of the game and you have those emotions to not do it. But that's what they're calling. That's it. I mean, they're focusing on that for whatever reason. That's what they're focusing on. So knowing that, you got to avoid it.
Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, recapping a big Titans win over the Seahawks. Teron, let's go through a couple of defensive things. I thought number one, you have to commend them for more or less just completely taking away the Seahawks running game. I like if that's something that they can do somewhat consistently, that's a big upgrade from last year.
Yeah, they were definitely able to do that, and that made things a little more difficult for the offense, of course. So you're right. I think that just comes down to really good play up front. You know, Danico Autry, Jeffrey Simmons, Larrell Murchison had a really good game, and Tierre Tart as well. That front, those guys were doing what they needed to do as far as clogging things up and making it tough to run.
No question. They had the one draw play that hurt them, but other than that, basically nothing given up by Chris Carson. Now, we know that there were some big breakdowns in the secondary. Needless to say, those ones stick out like a big eyesore, but I thought Christian Fulton played a really good game.
Yeah, Christian Fulton is definitely, at this point, after two games, their most consistent defender in the backfield and the secondary there. And he did play a good game. And you're seeing that aggressiveness. You're seeing that man cover ability that he has. And I thought it was really good how he matched up with Metcalf. And I'm not just talking about coverage. Even just in going against the run, he drew two holding calls from Metcalf. And if you look at the two, you know, it's like twins, right? Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. There's a clear size mismatch, but he accepted that challenge, and he aggressively accepted it. So Christian Fulton, he's shown why he was a second-round pick, and in my opinion, you know, I had him as a top-five corner coming up.
That is, when you're looking at signs, is the defense better? You keep going down this checklist of things that you like because they've built on it. The pass rush, clearly better. Like you said, Autry looked like he took a big step forward after the rust of it, you know, put him on the list of guys that we didn't see much of during the preseason. But I like what they're getting with the push in the middle from Simmons and Autry, and then Landry and Dupree on the outside. It's fairly consistent there.
Yeah, it is consistent. It is consistent. And one thing that I have to mention is David Long. And that guy continues to be a player. He's someone that was a factor against the run as well. I forget to mention him. But, yeah, when you look at that pass rush, you know, you got Dupree also getting pressure. You know, there was one of his bull rushes actually was the reason why Autry and Simmons were able to combine on a sack. So definitely it's all layered. It's tiered. And that's coming together for them. I want to see what happens once they start sending some of their DBs and those type of things as well. But right now, those guys up front are getting it done. Well, at least last week they did.
Yeah, and they faced two really good offenses. But this is the NFL. You're going to face good offenses. You're going to give up some points somewhere in here, especially when you're facing Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray. So let's go now to maybe a big question mark defensively, and that is, with Amani Hooker out, the safety situation, do you think it can get better as these guys, you know, just are out there more, learning each other, things like that? Because it clearly looked like, at least to me, that McDougal struggled some.
Yeah, absolutely. But the good thing for the Titans is that Dane Cruikshank was active and available. And that's really been the main thing with him. It's not his ability to play the game, it's his availability. You know, that's really what it comes down to. You have to be available, and he hasn't been. So when they made the switch and they put him in there, they started to use him in a little more of a dime look, and he was essentially playing linebacker, you know, and that's something that I've said they needed to go to for a while now, and you saw him just kind of stabilize things. So that's where the help at safety is going to come. He and Kevin Byard were together in the safety tandem a lot, you know, and I think it was 34 snaps Cruikshank played. It was something like that, which was a pretty good amount considering he wasn't even in the mix last week. So they definitely made a change there. And McDougal, you know, on the one touchdown, on Tyler Lockett's touchdown, he got caught flat-footed. And, you know, Lockett was able to. Now, granted, Tyler Lockett, that's not somebody I wouldn't want to cover him one-on-one, especially in that situation right there. And it's tough when you get that matchup, but that's what happened. You know, he got caught flat-footed, and Lockett was able to put a move on him, and next thing you know, it was a long touchdown. So, yeah, I think Cruikshank coming in, that's going to help them.
Things to work with. Now, I know you watched Elijah Molden closely even before the Titans drafted him. Why is he struggling right now? Or is this just, hey, it's a rookie, he's been thrown in there, you're going to get exploited some. But where do they go from here with him?
Yeah, I think it's a play here and a play there that he's coming up short. And unfortunately for him, you know, on those plays, they're big chunk plays for the opposing team or a score. And you have that long catch that Lockett was able to make, and he was able to get behind Molden. And once again, it's tough to cover Tyler Lockett in the open field. So now, you know, you got to drift back and pick him up on that crosser, and that was the issue there. He did come up and make a couple nice plays against the run, but, it's a learning experience, and he's just going to have to continue to develop. And in the meantime, right, you know, when you got big plays being given up, you got to bring somebody else in, and they brought in Chris Jackson. But then you had the communication mishap with he and Crystal Fulton mm-hmm. on Freddie Swain's 68-yard touchdown. So it's a group, you know, and they'll just have to continue to get better as a unit. But Molden himself, he'll continue to develop. I'm not down on him. Obviously, you don't want to give up some of the plays that he did, but I'm not going to say he played terribly.
Have you ever seen a play that wide open in the NFL where the defender didn't fall down? I'm not sure I have. Like, that's something you see in college, not in the NFL.
Yeah, holy, you see those holy. Sometimes. You see those, and it really is one of those things where, you know, like Christian Fulton said after the game, they didn't communicate. And you could tell that they weren't on the same page. And I've seen that happen, right, you know, where both guys will jump the route underneath and there's a route over top. That's what it's designed to do to make them confused like that.
Let's go to the other side of the ball, Teron, for a couple. I thought it was really interesting. It looked like it was you have a lot you're dealing with on the offensive line, as we've talked about. But I give Todd Downing a lot of credit for coming up with the formula to stabilize things. And it looked to me like they really went heavy tight end. Even without Firkser, they used the three big guys, Hudson, Swaim, and Michael Pruitt. And that's sort of what helped the pass protection, and it helped get Derrick Henry going eventually.
Yeah, you kind of had to do it because you got Saffold out as well, and Aaron Brewer mm-hmm. came in, and he helped stabilize things. So you definitely have to have that tight end there to help out. Now, there were a few plays where that left side was getting destroyed, you know, and Swaim was over there to help out, and he was getting destroyed. And I think Hudson on another one as well. So it's going to really require extra, not design, but attention to the pass rush. fortunately for the Titans, you know, going this week against the Colts, most of their stuff comes from the interior part of it. So they should be okay as far as that's concerned. But I just, you know, Buckner going against Brewer, you know, when they are in those situations, that's going to be a tough matchup. But we'll see how Brewer can rise to the occasion.
I also think they really hit on using Henry as a receiver, even McNichols some. I thought that was good recognition by Todd Downing that, hey, here's something that maybe the other team isn't accounting for very much that we can use. And it was key plays at key times there on that particular thing.
Well, there were a couple screens that he called,
yes,
and that
screens.
Was good. And that's something that I felt in week one might have been a good idea. And it's always good to do that against a defense that's attacking and you know, getting pressure. And that's what they were getting on Ryan Tannehill once again. But those screens kind of takes advantage of that. And then also Derrick Henry, his 6 receptions, that was a career high. And he said that it was just about making himself available to Tannehill. And there were times where they went out of empty, you know, and then they had Derrick Henry run some routes out of the backfield. And, I mean, in my opinion, you know, while we're talking about Henry, I think this was his most complete game as a pro. Obviously, the rushing yards were there, but you saw him, as I said, the 6 career receptions, 55 yards. But then in pass pro, I was impressed 2 or 3 times. He picked up Jamal Adams, who was coming on a blitz, and it led to big plays for the Titans. And that pickup right there, it gave him more time. And for Henry, that's really good because these are two things that are absolutely mandatory to have in your toolbox if you want to be on the field in 3rd and long situations, which we know that if there's anything that's been his kryptonite, that has been the kryptonite, having to come out on those situations.
It's kept him from getting, like, running back of the year or best running back in the game status, hands down. That's the one thing you say. He's not on the field a lot in 3rd down, but he's making strides there. Last thing, Teron. We saw Julio Jones take a big step forward. He looked like the guy. That's how this was supposed to go, right? He made some big plays, and he was, you know, an eyelash from having another huge play or two there. But Josh Reynolds still not really finding his role. I saw a lot come together yesterday, but he's still a guy. He was in there, but not really utilized as a target. He had the one mental mistake where he starts going forward well before the ball is snapped, CFL style. But is that just rust? Do you think there's better things coming for him? Because right now he's getting beat out by Chester Rogers. Clearly, Rogers is the more trusted target in terms of the passing game.
And Rogers showed why. Well, he did have the one drop, but they kind of played ping pong with him on another one after Brown and Jones had a drop each. So yeah, Rodgers is consistent. That's what it's been for him this whole training camp and so far this season. And with Reynolds, I really think it's just a matter of just getting him acclimated into the system. Obviously, you did have that lapse, and he kind of like drifted up the field. And I think that was a part of like going on a silent count, you know, because his back was to the ball, you know, as he was going in motion, and you can't really see the ball being snapped, so that was tough for him. They still got to figure out a way to get him involved, and I think that's just something we're going to have to see how that whole situation matures. But just real quick on Tannehill and Jones, that is something that's developed, and I wrote about that, and I asked Tannehill just about how things are coming along, and he pointed to that touchdown and also that 3rd down where it was like 3rd and 18, and Jones picked up 15 yards, and those were both catches that, you know, he called them trust throws. And he said seeing that, it makes you want to go back to him in those type of situations in the future. So expect to see that continue to develop, and I think that's going to be a good thing for that offense.
Certainly built cohesiveness there, and you feel like there's even more layers that are to come here, and that's a good sign. That is a good sign.
By the way, after Randy Bullock's performance yesterday, you don't have to worry about Greg Joseph coming back. He had a rough day at the office, Greg Joseph. I don't know if you saw
it. Oh, I didn't even see. Yeah. No, I didn't see.
You want to hear it, Teron? Because I know you were busy covering the Titans and the Seahawks. Elijah, if you could let Teron hear Greg Joseph, how the
last
day
play
ended
of the game
for him. Last play
for the
of
win.
The game. This is the Vikings broadcast. It's something.
For the win. Last play of the game.
It's gone! No, he
missed
it.
Good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Oh, my heavens.
Oh.
Whoops. By the way, it was like a 36-yarder straight up the middle.
Oof.
Yeah. And they're like, God! Oh, no, we missed it.
That's a trope.
Cardinals are 2-0.
That's how the Cardinals had that one-point victory. Minnesota missed a chip shot field goal. It was Greg Joseph. Yikes.
Well, Teron, great stuff. Enjoyed the coverage, and we'll talk to you throughout the week as get ready for this big, big game on Sunday with a desperate Colts team that has issues at quarterback.
Safe travels back, man.
Oh, I'm back. I'm back.
Oh, you're back.
Oh, what, did you take the red eye last night, or what's the deal?
Wow.
Yeah, did the red eye, you know, and I'm about to take myself a nap before Coach Vrabel goes at 2 o'clock, and yeah, we're going to figure this out.
Go get a nap. All right, Teron. Thanks, man.
All right, Teron Davenport, ESPN. Of course, talking with TD, the podcast, always great coverage of the Titans throughout the week. And then, of course, after the game, we love talking to him on Mondays at 11. Darren, you've got a little word from Cool Springs, MD.
That is impressive that he's back already. Really impressive.
The red eye, man. I've been there.
It is
not easy.
No, it's
not. The next day is rough.
I do want to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. They're my friends because I've been going there for years, and they've been helping me for years become healthier and happier. And who doesn't want a better quality of life? I know I do. And as we age, it gets tougher. But boy, do they do a lot of things under one roof. They've got a state-of-the-art facility out there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle, and they've got a very experienced staff that can help you in a variety of things. Plus, Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician, his wife Daphne, the registered nurse, they could help you with weight loss management. They take that very important, or they think it's very important, and they take it seriously because it's hard, right, as adults to, you know, keep off those unwanted pounds. Well, they got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction ASAP. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important. I know it's important to me, and it gets tougher as we age. Things happen, you know, maybe that, you know, never seen happen before. Well, they can sit down with you and talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox. They do it all. And finally, hormone therapy. Maybe you've been feeling a little bit off lately. Get your levels checked. Maybe they've dipped. Maybe they've dipped to an all-time low. That does happen as we age, and that can affect you in a lot of areas, whether it's your drive, your energy, mood swings, or all of the above. And they'll be more than happy to discuss BHRT, testosterone, or estrogen with you. They do it all. If you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation, pick up the phone and dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can learn everything about them by going to their website, coolspringsmd.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.